الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the program Repentance, in which we talk about repentance and we try to define it for you so that we can develop a better understanding regarding the concept of repentance and we can also succeed in repenting wholeheartedly and sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous episode, we spoke about the element of remorse, regret, that we should have within our repentance and how important it is. Without having the element of remorse and regret within ourselves, our repentance cannot be deemed as valid. As this feeling of remorse is the integral part of our repentance. And we also covered that remorse itself should be covered with knowledge at one end and intention and determination of abandoning the sin and not committing it again at the other end. So the element of remorse, this feeling of regret, should be placed in the middle, and at one end there should be knowledge and at the other end there should be determination and intention. So the combination of these three elements is something which is referred to as repentance. So today, insha'Allah, we will further talk about the element of remorse within repentance. We will also, insha'Allah, talk about one of the questions that may arise in a person's mind. And we will also, insha'Allah, find an answer to it. But before that, let's first of all enlighten our hearts with listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The holy prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that whoever recites salat upon me one time, Allah Almighty sends 10 mercies upon him, and whoever recites salat upon me 10 times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 mercies, 100 blessings upon him, and whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty will write between both his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, Allah Almighty will keep him among martyrs, among shuhada. Such a beautiful reward, my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, for reciting salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam only 100 times a day. That on the day of judgment, such an individual will be kept amongst martyrs, amongst shuhada, and it will be inscribed between both his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. Such beautiful glad tidings for the one who recites darood, who sends peace and blessings upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam only 100 times a day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we were talking about remorse, the element of remorse within our repentance. Now let's carry this discussion further. One question that may arise in a person's mind, that if someone says that sins are such deeds that a person's nature gets inclined towards, naturally this is the tendency of a person's nature, that he is inclined towards ill deeds, towards sins. So how can a person feel aversion towards them? How can a person develop hatred towards them? Because remember, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that towards the end of our last episode, We also establish the fact that we should also have hatred towards the sin in our heart. We should remove the element of joy of the sin from our hearts, the sweetness of the sin that a person normally enjoys. This sweetness should be removed from our hearts from that sin, and hatred should be developed in our hearts for that sin. This is very, very important for our repentance to be valid. So this is what we established towards the end of our previous episode. Now, continuing this discussion further, we understand that sins are something that a person is naturally inclined towards. So someone may question over here that when someone is naturally inclined towards sins, now how is it under the power of the person to have hatred towards that sin? So someone may come up with this question. Now, ulama, they answer this question with this following example. They say that if a person eats honey mixed with poison and he doesn't feel the taste of the poison due to the sweetness of the honey, and then that person falls ill and his illness worsens, making him severely ill. In this state, if poison mixed honey is brought to him, then wouldn't he have hatred towards the honey regardless of how hungry he may be or how fond he may be towards sweet edibles, towards sweet things? Of course he will be, no matter how hungry he is or no matter how much he loves sweets. Once he knows that poison is there, then regardless of the sweetness of the honey, he will still develop that element of hatred towards that honey, because he knows poison is mixed within it. In fact, sometimes what happens is that if a person has only a doubt of poison being mixed in honey, whereas a poison is not mixed in honey, but he just has some kind of doubt that there might be poison in this honey, then still that person will have some aversion towards that a clean, pure, sweet and tasty honey. He will still have some kind of hatred towards that honey, whereas poison is not mixed in it. He just has some kind of doubt towards it. So what do we conclude? We conclude that a person who repents feels averted to the sins in the same way. And the reason for this is that he comes to know that the sweetness of every sin is like that poison mixed honey, and it results in a similar fashion just like that poison. So a person's repentance will not be valid until his faith isn't like this, meaning that he feels the bitterness of sins in his heart, aversion towards sins in his heart. Since such faith is seldomly found, hence same is the case with such repentance, which is also seldomly found. It's not common. We don't find this kind of repentance common around us. So we come to know that it is the knowledge of the person which will inculcate, which will develop the feeling of having hatred towards that sin within that individual's heart. In the same way as the person developed hatred towards the honey for which he had a doubt that there might be poison in it. So the doubt of a poison being mixed in the honey, that sweetness of the honey was removed from his heart, and the bitterness and the harm of the poison settled in his heart, resulting in having hatred towards that poison. Same is the case for Tawbatul Nasuh, for sincere repentance, that the hatred towards that sin settles in the heart of that person, and the sweetness of the sin is removed from the heart of the person when he keeps the harm of that sin in his heart. And then this takes us back to one step behind, where we came to know that the element of remorse needs to be covered with knowledge at one end. And this knowledge will make that person realize the harm of the bitterness of that sin, which will of course remove the sweetness of that sin from his heart. So a person's repentance will not be valid until his faith isn't like this. as we just mentioned. So this is the condition of the completion of regret, of remorse, and it is mandatory to remain steadfast upon it until the last breath. So for remorse, developing this feeling of regret, which is an integral part of repentance, we understand that the integral part of this remorse, feeling of regret, is to have hatred towards sins and remove the element of sweetness and joy of that sin from our hearts. And it's not necessary that you have hatred for only those sins that you've committed, but even those sins that you have not committed, even for them, you need to have hatred in your heart. So this will make the element of regret valid, which will then lead to the validity of your repentance. It is just like a person who has hatred and aversion and observes caution towards other sweet edibles too, who has faced the aftershocks, the consequences of having poison mixed honey. The way such a person would have hatred and a cautious approach towards other sweet things as well, even if he wouldn't have eaten them, same would be the case with a person who repents wholeheartedly, develops a hatred for the sins that he has committed, but also for those sins that he has not committed yet, because he would have understood the harm that it possesses. Now, one essential pillar of repentance is determination and intention, which we also covered before. Now, this determination and intention develops as a result of regret and remorse. So these are interlinked together. When our remorse and regret, these feelings are true and sincere, then this will lead towards determination and intention. And what it means is that to intend to abandon the sin. And the intention is related to all three periods of time, past, present, and future. When we talk about it being linked with present, it means that it entices a person to abandon every such forbidden act in which a person may be involved. And whatever is fard upon the person, is obligatory upon a person, it entices a person in fulfilling that very obligation. How is it linked with past? That it entices a person to abandon the sins of the past and also fulfill the rights of the wrongdoings, if there are any rights that require the person to fulfill those rights. And how is this intention and determination linked with future? It entices a person to perform pious deeds and abandon sins till his last breath. So this intention and determination, which get created as a result of the feeling of regret and remorse, this is how it is interlinked with our present, past, and future as well. Now, the condition of the validity of a determination of an intention in relation to the past is that since the day a person became baligh, he reached the age of puberty, since that very day, a person should reflect upon every year, every month, and every day, in fact, every breath of his, and see how many commandments has he left unfulfilled, and how many sins has he committed. Reflecting upon his state in this manner would lead him towards realizing how many sins has he committed, and how much repentance does he need to make for the forgiveness of those sins. And then he will realize that whether those sins were in relation to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or in relation to the rights of people. And then he would realize, or he can then work out, that how does he need to expiate for those sins? What are the requirements for making up for those sins? If they were in relation to violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what does he need to do in relation to expiate for them? And if they were in relation to violating the rights of people, then what exactly does he need to do to make up for them? So this discussion, inshallah azawajal, will come in our future episodes, where we will touch upon the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of people, and how do we expiate for the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those of the people, and try to understand how would our repentance become valid in relation to those very sins as well. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, today we have established that the element of remorse, the element of regret, how important it is in our repentance. And we've also tried to cover a question that may arise in a person's mind, that sins are naturally loved by a person, loved by the nafs, and a person is naturally inclined towards it. So when a person is naturally inclined towards it, then how can we develop hatred towards that sin? So we've also established that when a person realizes the harm of that sin, when he realizes how dangerous it is for the faith, for the iman of the person, that is when the person will eventually realize that he needs to develop hatred towards that sin and also towards every single sin. And the example was given of poison mixed honey. That honey itself is very tasty, is very sweet, but once poison is mixed in it, now the person will start developing hatred for that honey. And if a person has only a small doubt about it, that there might be poison mixed in that honey, then the person will still develop hatred towards that sin only based on this doubt. And a person who faces the consequences of eating poison mixed honey, he will be very careful and very cautious in relation to other sweet things as well. No matter how hungry he may be, and no matter how much he would have love for sweet things. So same would be the case for a person who would have realized the harmful effects of a sin. No matter how much our nafs is inclined towards that sin, no matter how much sweetness our nafs feels towards that sin, once we develop the feeling of remorse and regret for that sin, with the knowledge that how harmful that is for our iman, then we will automatically start developing the feeling of hatred towards that sin, and the feeling of joy and sweetness towards that sin will also start getting removed from our hearts. So this will, inshallah azawajal, lead towards having a sincere feeling of remorse and regret within our heart, which will then lead towards sincere repentance. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we see that all these elements are interlinked with each other. Repentance is interlinked with having feeling of remorse, and feeling of remorse is interlinked with developing the feeling of hatred towards a sin. So if any single element is missed out, then our repentance will not be deemed as valid. So we need to make sure that our repentance has all these requirements met. It should meet all these essential pillars. All these essential pillars should be fulfilled, then our repentance will become valid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to repent sincerely and wholeheartedly, and may Allah Almighty enable us to be steadfast upon abandoning sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Forgive me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Guide me.